We're now joined on the line by the Municipal Demarcation Board CEO, Mr. Manye Moroka. He joins us in conversation. This is somewhat of an effort by the Demarcation Board to somewhat enhance demarcation processes. The Demarcation Board is conducting somewhat consultations to educate stakeholders about what delimitation processes. These consultations are held in all municipalities across the country, targeting traditional leaders, ward councillors, ward committees, municipal officials, and other stakeholders. CEO, good evening. Really appreciate you making time.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
Yeah. CEO, we understand that the Municipal Systems Act empowers the board to delimit wards, obviously preceding local government elections. Take us through what that process entails and how it is implemented.
Every 5 years, just before the local government elections, or at least a year before that one, we do what we call ward delimitation. It is where we do an awareness program for members of society and stakeholders to be aware in terms of what the Act dictates to us before we even go to the legislative process. So we then go and sit with them, give them feedback that the IEC gave us the voters' role in March, and that voters' role begins a process of us going to look into that. And before we even do that, there's also another level and stage that is very important, which is in July, August, where the minister determines the formula for number of councillors to be appointed in a particular area. And there's also the concurrent responsibility on the side of the MECs to do so. Now, the number of wards are determined in terms of a formula that we use in terms of what we call the threshold and the average, that so X number of such wards must be in a particular place. They may not be less than 15% of the threshold, and they may not be half above the 15% of that threshold. Let me give an example. If there are 20,000 voters, we divide that by a figure and it gives us 1,000, and that 1,000 will be the average. But if it is 850 or less than 850, it's below the average. If it is above 1,150, it is above average, just that. So we then educate people in terms of that, and then we've got all the steps that we do up until we go into the legislated process, which we will start soon after this awareness program. And it's also in terms of the number of months, yes.
Yeah. I've also noted in a statement shared by the board that there's been somewhat, well, in fact, the statement notes that over the years, there's been a sharp increase in the number of voters, resulting in proportional increase in the number of wards and municipalities. Now, my question is, this voter increase, has it been somewhat associated also with the population increase? Because we've also seen in the recent elections and subsequently some of the legislatures then had to somewhat increase the number of seats that they had as a result of these proportional representation. Talk us through around that balance of the increase in terms of voters, but also then the increase in terms of the population in the country.
It goes both ways. It's either there's an increase or a decrease. But yes, you are correct. In most instances, there's an increase, and this is informed by the migration patterns, which we all know about. And it also varies from place to place. For an example, if you take city of Johannesburg, It no longer has space for wards. It's reached its limit because of the migration patterns into the city of Johannesburg. Then you have to look at either Ekurhuleni or the city of Tshwane. But in Mpumalanga, when you look at Mbombela and other areas, it's the migration patterns there also. You've got those areas that are overly populated, but you also have places where people are living, and the configuration on the wards there differs.
But I've also noted that also this particular exercise will also inform decisions that would enhance spatial democracy, access to economic opportunities, and somewhat efficient delivery of services. Would you then say that, because in the context of Mpumalanga, we've had the South African Human Rights Commission doing what they call a service delivery inquiry, where they flagged in all the municipalities, 17 local municipalities that are here, that they are planning of administering services does not coincide with the current stats of each municipality. Do you then think that this particular exercise will somewhat also address some of those issues in equipping municipalities with correct data of how many people, or just around the consensus or the spatial democracy around an area?
Oh, I wish I could be saying I confirm that, but also just to augment your statement, because it's more of a statement, is that there are three pieces of documents informing us. Obviously, it's the Constitution, and then it's the NDP, which you know, the National Development Plan, and then we've got our own Act. In those three pieces of documents, we've got what we call inclusive spaces. Now, inclusive spaces are such that when we demarcate, we must demarcate in such a way that there's harmony to the area. There's not just the dysfunctionality, the squalid poverty, the overcrowding, and all of that. So your statement now actually qualifies that. That's the whole intention, yes.
Okay, maybe lastly, CEO, before I let you go, we understand that in Mpumalanga there are current processes around demarcation and relocation of boundaries. How much would that affect this particular exercise that you're carrying now? Because previously in Mpumalanga we were informed that there are certain municipalities that will form part of other districts. And my understanding is that obviously when you then collate this information at the end, you then appropriate councillors into the district as a result of, you know, the performance of those political parties in that municipality and whatnot. So how much of this exercise will affect that particular decision that was still there to be taken around the relocation of boundaries and just the demarcation of municipalities in the context of Mpumalanga alone?
Currently before the board, we've got a proposal for a fourth district, and I'm sure you are aware of that.
Yes, sir.
But the board, when it took its decision on the 28th of February, decided, no, we still need to go and do more research about it. We still have to look at the pros and cons about it. So that matter is like, it's under consideration, and it must still be processed through the board. However, the municipal boundaries are the boundaries between municipalities, and I'm sure you are aware of that.
Sure.
The word delimitation, it's the words within a municipal boundary.
Sure.
So it does not necessarily stop the other process from happening. It only affects it if the words that are being proposed as changes will affect a particular boundary, because we call them cross-municipal boundary words. That's the only time. So those are the ones that you are referring to, because that process is a process that came and it ended. The next time it will come is 5 years from now. So no, they are two parallel process, but not much of a difference. And in your province, it's only just that one area that is still put on hold. The others were proposed, were decided upon.
Yeah.
And the people who applied, be it the municipality and or ordinary members of public, were duly notified about the outcome of the board.
Interesting. I wanted to abuse the opportunity, but I'm also looking at the time, because, you know, that last statement, it somewhat appetizes us, because there's been a conflict in the city of Mbombela. There's been a conflict in the city of Mbombela around the divorce between the merger that happened between Umchindi local municipality and as well as the city of Mbombela. Are you saying that that particular matter has since been processed?
No. It's one of the deferred cases.
Okay.
Now, what is a deferred case? A deferred case is when a proposal is there, but there is a disjuncture between the proposer, the people themselves, the leaders there, and everybody. So my team or the researchers at the MDB will go out, will then draw from the ground what we call evidence-based reports to say, this is doable, this is not doable, this is viable, it is not viable. Will it improve the capacity of the area? Will it improve it from functionality to dysfunctionality, or dysfunctionality to functionality? That aspect is currently under consideration, and it will still be submitted to the board for consideration. However, there's also another process of us saying, not only will we be consulting with the applicant or the stakeholders, but we will consult with everybody who is touched by that proposal.
Noted.
And just to say that last part,
okay,
is that, you know, when a member of public asks for a demarcation to happen, Sometimes they are informed by self-interest, sometimes in the interest of the public. But the government itself is at a place, better placed to know which side is which side.
Mm.
And those are the engagements we do. And then we deposit that, or we posit that into the research report that will inform the board.
Without a doubt. CEO, really appreciate you
everything
making time.
For yes, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for making time. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Really appreciate you. That's the CEO of the Municipal Demarcation Board, CEO Manye Moroka, talking to us this evening.